And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Cammie Lee, of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you, Tammie Lee. Well, welcome everybody to another exciting episode of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Our special guest this week is Dr. E. And our co-host, Conjurman Ali, I'm sure will welcome Dr. E. Now, I'm going to say a few things before
welcome.
We start this show. I'm just going to have to lay this plan out. This week is just one of those things, you know, sometimes you think spirit speaks and we just listen, but and then we do what spirit says. Dr. E was scheduled well in advance to be here this week. This was not a last-minute decision, but his presence here this week is very fortuitous and very timely, as there has been some discussion lately in the internet, occult and conjure and metaphysical communities about the role of ritual animal sacrifice in African traditional religions. And Dr. E is, in fact, an initiated priest in two of those religions, Santeria and Palo. So it's just one of those wonderful things that he happens to be here today. And he's going to talk about that with us. So those who are interested in it, stick around, because that's going to come toward the end of the show. The show is going to be the usual way we do it, which is reading and root working, and in the African-American conjure tradition. But we are going to have a special segment this week, different than we've ever done before, where we're going to just discuss this matter. Okay, so everybody hang on. Tell your friends if they want to hear this. It'll be on toward the end of the show, and we expect to have a number of listeners to the show who've never been here before. Okay, that was my special announcement. Now, how are things with you, Ali, this week?
Things are wonderful this week. It's been a busy week, and I have been on the wonderful HoodooPsychics.com and had an opportunity to talk to clients. It's great hearing everyone's voices, and it's lovely. I'm looking at the chat, and it's great seeing all the familiar faces, some new faces. I just wanted to say hi to Joseph Magnuson and say thank you for being such a great moderator at the forum. He has been helping out so much by editing everyone's novellas for the radio show call-in so that they're much more manageable. So thank you to Joseph Magnuson for all your hard work, and hello to everyone. Hello to Tristan, and welcome. Welcome, everyone. I mean, it's a great show. I'm looking forward to having Dr. Eon, who is a good friend and a great colleague.
All right. So let's say hi to Dr. E. How are you doing
welcome.
Today, Dr. E?
Hi, guys. Thank you so very much for having me on your show. I'm very honored to be able to be on this wonderful show of yours that has a wonderful legacy of teaching Southern folk magic, root work, conjure, hoodoo, whatever we want to call it, to thousands of people out there, and I'm just glad to be able to be part of that legacy. So thank you for inviting me on the show, and aside from that, I'm doing great today, and I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Love to have you on.
That's good to hear. You know, what a lot of people don't know, Contraband Ali and Dr. E live very near each other and have never met face to face.
And the worst part is...
This is the wonderfulness of the internet community. I just learned recently that a Contraband Ali told me that almost every day he drives by near where Dr. E lives, but I told them to wave. They should say hi someday. But we all know each other through the internet, and that's what's so wonderful about the way that this community has grown. I really love that. I never would have met Dr. E if it hadn't been for the internet. Now, Dr. E, you have your own practice. You are a traditional diviner, reader, root worker. Tell us a little bit about how you were brought up into this, what you do, and what you offer to people.
All right, thanks. Indeed, I do. I run my own business known as Dr. E Products, and my website is, as was mentioned, is conjuredoctor.com. And I came into root work actually through the African traditional religion, so it's kind of fortunate that I'll be talking on that a little later in the show. But I was originally introduced to Santeria through cultural links because I am a Cuban American. I'm a firstborn American child of Cuban parents that escaped during the communist revolution in Cuba. So, so I was always very, aware of the presence of the Orishas, which are the names of the deities that we work with in Santeria, because it's in the music, it's in sayings, it's in folk traditions. And I was always very interested, and that led me to become interested in investigating Santeria, even though there was no presence of it in my personal family. Eventually, after investigating and studying and working my way through the tradition, I was initiated as a priest of Shango in November of 2001 in the Bronx, New York, in a cold basement. but I was initiated there, and I learned about Palo, the other African traditional religion, which also comes from Cuba, at the same time. And I was actually initiated in Palo first, which is the normal way that these things are done, is Palo initiations are done before, because once you're initiated in Santeria, that's considered the last thing that goes on your head. So they, that's why they try to do things.
Whoa. Let's back up. And I don't know nothing about this. What's Palo?
Palo is another African diasporic religion that is rooted in the traditional practices of the Congo people, which were the first wave of African slaves that were brought to the New World. And it's actually a far older presence in the New World than Santeria. Santeria is actually a relatively new arrival in the New World. And so it's what's really interesting about Palo and what led me to root work is that the magical techniques, the technology, as I call it, the spiritual technology that we use in Palo is very similar to hoodoo. And so I was always very interested in discovering and learning more about hoodoo, which led me to take your course, Kat. Mm-hmm. And in taking your course, I said, wait a minute, this is all the stuff I already do. I know this stuff. It's the same magical technology, just with the religious aspect stripped out. And as we all know, when the slaves were brought to the southern United States, they were all forced, to convert to various Protestant denominations. And in many ways, the religion that most root workers, most Hoodoo practitioners in the South practice is some form of Christianity. So there was a kinship mm-hmm. there, and that was the interest that drew me in. And I graduated your course, and after enough years of working as a professional, I joined AIR, which I'm a very proud member of, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, and then later on joined Hoodoo Psychics as well. I'm also available on the Hoodoo Psychics line from time to time.
Oh, wow.
So
you've been initiated for almost or even over a decade in Palo and Santeria, right? 2001, you
over
said.
Over a decade in both, yeah. 20 years of collective experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very
impressive. Well, if I can mention something about this, because this is something that a lot of people don't understand, and you've touched on something very important. As you said, some of the oldest waves of slaves who were brought to the Americas, and this includes Cuba, Jamaica, the United States, all these areas, even eastern Mexico,
and
originally came from
America,
Yeah, and South America too. They came from the Congo. And what we find in what we call conjure or hoodoo or root work is is very, very strongly influenced by the Congo. The later waves of slaves came from Western Africa and the Nigerian Yoruban
right.
tradition, but it did come later. And
right.
you can see it in different people's families where their origins were because of what customs they used. But Hoodoo, as I was taught it, mostly from people from Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas who were living in the East Bay of California, Oakland, California area, they had a great combination of Native American and Congo practice. Of course, I didn't know that when I started off learning this stuff. And I didn't understand the Native American part, although many of them went out of the way to tell me they were part Cherokee Indian, and I didn't understand what that meant. And but,
right.
you know, but you know, you grow and you learn. And so Hoodoo is different than things like Apollo because, of course, in Cuba, they didn't have any Cherokee Indians. They had different,
right.
you know. Or
right.
in Puerto Rico, for instance, there were these Taino Indians. In other words,
right.
as slaves intermarried with native peoples, or in Brazil again, there's differences that modify the African component of the folk magic. And so,
right.
but we do find, when we look at the way the spells are performed, the way the prayers are made, the way the work is done, the use of roots and so forth, we see more similarities between the Apollo workings and religion of the Congo
correct.
And Hoodoo than, for instance, between Santeria and Hoodoo.
Right.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, one of the most well-known magical technologies of the Congo people that is very feared to this day in Cuba is the throwing of powders. And there's
yeah.
a lot of traditions in Cuba that arose out of that. For example, not walking around the house barefoot, throwing water on your front doorstep when you get up in the morning. I mean, these are all things
mm-hmm.
that a lot of folks, you know, country folk know, and they don't even necessarily know why they do it, but it all originated originally as a preemptive defense against the use of Congo magic against people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and you can
mm-hmm.
see the influence of that in Hoodoo and Conjure, where laying down tricks and laying down powders, what we call foot track magic, is one of the staples of our work. That's very, you can see the connections right there very clearly.
Right,
yeah.
And container
yeah.
spells, you know, in container spells, we use a lot of container spells, bottles,
right.
Buried tricks. I mean, these are all things that are very common in Congo magical practice. And then when I learned them in Hoodoo, I just said, hey, wait a minute, this is an old friend I've known for a long time. So,
yeah, yeah. Now, the major difference is that in Palo, there is a retention of these African pantheon of deities and spirits, whereas
right.
most African Americans were converted to Christian beliefs, although, you know, every form of Christianity carries some remnants of the past. And you know, we don't need to get into a whole religious history and theory here, but
right.
No religion is, you know, de novo. They all carry with them some folk culture. You know, all those Lutherans with their Christmas trees, they know where that Christmas tree came from. That did not come from
right.
Jesus, you know.
Right.
but, you know, but we all acknowledge and understand those roots. But Paulo tried to retain as a religion as much possible of the Congo religion. And so it is a different, but there are Paulo practitioners, and Santeria is in particular crossed with Christianity. Isn't that correct?
Well, interesting. Actually, in many ways, the crossing or the syncretization, as we call it, with Christianity first occurred with Paulo before the Yoruba people ever got to the New World. And that was a very well-known thing. As a matter of fact, there's the terms of Christian versus Jewish branches of Paulo, which is a term that's used to describe whether they ascribe to an oath before God to not do nasty works versus not. That terminology mm-hmm. was used in Cuba long before the Yoruba ever got there. You know, I happen to belong to a, quote, Christian lineage. All that means is that we take an oath before the Creator God to not attack people and do harm to them. We can use magic to defend ourselves, but we're not going to go out like a loose cannon shooting off and hurting people. That's just part of the lineage that I belong to. But, you know, there's been syncretization going on with Paulo long before the Yoruba got there. And then when the Yoruba got there, they said, hey, this is a great little technique. This is a great way for us to continue to practice our native religions and fly a little bit more under the radar. So they also adopted the practice of syncretization. Now, the interesting thing, a lot of people make this mistake. They think syncretization began in the New World. That's actually not true. Christian syncretization with native African traditions was happening in Africa because there were already Christian and Muslim missionaries present in sub-Saharan Africa before the slave trade ever began. So a lot of these parallels with saints to African gods was already happening. And so when they came over and they were being given Sundays off as per Spanish colonial rule, all the slaves were given Sunday off to go to church, they said, hey, since we're going to go to church, we're going to take advantage of this opportunity to practice our native religion, we'll call it St. Barbara instead of, you know, in Sati Siete Rayos, and all will be well, you know. So for them, it was a much more natural transition than I think many people think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you see the same thing in all you know, forms of European Christianity too. And as you know, as Johannes just said in chat room, in Scandinavian folk magic, which is called trolldom, you know, they have foot track, they have powders, and they have very nice Christmas trees. And it's, you know, all of, you know, people mix and match. It's a big toss salad. We call it life, you know. So that, you know, so your practice with people, you do root work for people in the hoodoo tradition, conjure tradition, and you also perform Santeria and Palo ceremonies for people. Is that correct?
Right. I would say about 80% of my practice is good old traditional Southern fried root work, okay? And only very rarely do I need to reach for my Palo tools. And usually those are really, really severe cases where my spirits are saying, let's just cut to the chase. Let's use some stronger, you know, weaponry here and get this nasty curse off of that person. Or, you know, let's really blast through some serious obstacles this person has and open up their life to goodness. That's when I'll reach for the Palo. The Santeria, which is actually a derogatory term, the proper term for the religion is the Lukumi faith. It's just people don't really tend to know that term, so that's why I'll just default to calling it Santeria. But in Santeria, I really only go for that technique if someone specifically requests it. Because for me, it's a very personal practice. It's something that I do. I am now offering Dilogun readings. That's the cowrie shell divination system of the Santeria religion. I am now offering those on my website, and it's a really beautiful and complex system. If we have time, maybe I'll do one for one of our callers today. But I only do that with you know, certain folks, because it's really suited towards practitioners or at least believers in the religion. It's not so much a magical system you can draw upon for lay people that really have no interest in pursuing the religion. Do you know what I'm saying?
I understand. So, but I understand. Yeah. Now, speaking of divination, we do divination here for our clients. And what are you going to be doing today? I'm going to be reading the Rider-Waite Tarot deck. I know that Ollie does too, and I'm probably going to be casting bones. What are you going to be using for divination?
I will be using one divination tool from each of my spiritual practices. So I will have the Dilogun here for me. I may have to mute myself because I got to rattle off a litany of prayers in African that maybe the listeners don't want to hear. I'm going to be using the Chamalongos, which are a divination technique from the Congo people, from Palo. That's very yes or no question oriented. That's great for cutting to the chase. And then I will be also using my Radiant Tarot deck, which is just a variation of the Rider-Waite Tarot, just because it's easy, and for me it's like reading a book.
Great. Wonderful. All right. And Miss Tammy Lee, let's take it away and get to our first caller and see what we can do to read for and then prescribe some root work for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali. And this week's special guest, Dr. E, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to get the phones and take our first caller. And our first caller is calling from area code 646. This is Tony123, who would like to be referred to as Tony from Jamaica, New York. Tony, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi,
Tony. Hi, everybody.
Hi there. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your case. And Tony writes, November was a very hard month. Everything was happening beyond my control and was the worst ever. My puggy died unexpectedly a few days before a major painful back surgery. My boyfriend never even came to offer any support for either. Son went on a drunken tear. It was a month full of overwhelming heartbreak. Why? I feel so numb, so lost, and so tired. I need help. Turning it back over to you.
Oh, Tony, that's just terrible. I'm so sorry.
It was the strangest month ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Little dog just out of nowhere. Everything came from out of nowhere with the exception, obviously, of the surgery because it had to be planned. But everything else is just like, holy crap. I want to move forward. I don't even know what forward is.
Yeah,
it's
horrible. Dear. Sweetheart. Poor baby. You know, and I'm just going to say something as a person who's been very close to my animals, dogs and cats alike. To lose a good dog companion like that, especially suddenly, that just tears your heart out. And my heart is with you. That's hard. That's really hard.
I don't even understand where it came from. It was like she was fine in the morning, and she picked the worst time ever. She picked a Saturday night at 11:30 to start to really get ill. I took her to the emergency vet. He was a dope. And within 5 hours, she died next to me in bed. I had her all close to me.
Yeah.
Like she knew she was going.
Sorry.
It was horrible.
I'm so sorry. That's very hard. That's
we
very
will
hard.
All
well,
pray for you and your dog. We will all light a candle and pray for you. Okay,
okay.
My dear?
Yeah.
She was a wonderful dog. She was so happy. You would have loved her. She had a hard life. I had adopted her. I had her for 2.5 years. And she just, oh, my goodness. She was like happiness and love all wrapped in for her.
Yeah, I understand. Well, sweetheart, you know, the question really becomes, was this something done to you? Was this just, you know, what we call hitting a patch of, you know, rocks in the river and, you know, your canoe gets capsized? So let's look at the cards and see what's the past, what's the present, what's the future, and what message I can bring from the tarot cards. I'm going to be using the Rider-Waite deck, okay? Well, the first card that I get does not, this is not, someone didn't curse you, this is not a curse, but it is hard. It's just a difficult thing. It's a card that shows me that there are good parts and there are bad parts in life. The card is called the High Priestess. Now, normally the High Priestess is a card of great wisdom, and in fact, there is wisdom to be found in this, but she's a woman who sits between two pillars. One is, they're carved of stone. One is black, one's white. And she's a woman of faith and of spirit, and she has a crown, and the crown has moons on it, the waning moon, the waxing moon, the full moon. And it's about time. It's about, you know, things come, things go. And she has a cross on her bosom. It's the cross of Christianity. She has the Torah or scroll of Jewish law in her lap, and she has at her feet the crescent moon of Islam. And so she's multicultural. She's a very wise woman. And this card tells me that this was not done to you. It was just one of those things when all, you know, it just, it, you know, confluences of things came together. It's very, very hard. It's very hard. And but it also says here that there's love and there's wisdom to be found in it. And there is, you know, peace and learning to be had. It's not a good card in a bad place, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's a card of I know that sounds, you know, it's but it does show
it sounds like
that
opposite.
You.
I know. I just can't find the message. I can't. I don't understand.
Well, it just says to me that that you will. You know, there's that old song. You know, by and by, when the morning comes, you know, we'll understand it better. By and by, it's just these things happen. And but this was not a curse. You were not afflicted by an enemy. Yeah.
No.
Now, as the question is, the next card, and what is happening? You know, what is going to happen next? And the next card is a card of literally of sorrow and grief, and it is a card that tells me that this is hurting your heart a great deal. It's called the Three of Swords, and it's a heart stabbed with three swords. So in the present, you are in a state of grief, and, you know, acknowledge that. But you want to ask for and have stand by you the prayers of your friends. And I would recommend that you, what you're doing right now, talk about it and have your friends pray for and with you. You'll get through it. It's so hard. It's so hard. There's another day will come, but right now you're in it, and I understand. The third card is a card that tells me that as time goes on, you will actually be able to build on your faith from this. And this card is called the Three of Pentacles. It's a card of a man and a priest and an architect building a church. And it really is about service to others and growth of your soul in a practical way. And I would say, from what I see in my heart, you know, there's another little dog waiting. You know, this is, you know, I mean, the kind of love that you have and can give is there, you know. But there's more to come in life, and just work on that building of your, you know, of yourself. You had the surgery. I hope it went well. And
I believe so.
Yeah, and this is about building yourself. Yeah, I understand. But I see here, I mean, what I see is that you are a person who really is of service to others and is working on a spiritual temple of your life. And people will help. This is a team of people. The people will help you. So that's how I perceive the reading. It tells me that you need to do some grief work, because that's what's in the center of this. And grief work is, you know, we'll talk about that in a moment. But Ollie, what do you see in your reading? I mean, I'm sorry, not Ollie. I'm sorry, Dr. E. What do you see?
Thanks, Scott. I was going to say. Wait. I echo a lot of what you got in your reading. The one thing that stood out strongly for me here in the present, in my present card, I got the Four of Cups, which for me is a card that oftentimes talks about disappointment, after sadness, after tragedy, after disappointment, to the point that it really starts to wear on you and wear you thin, to the point that you start to lose hope. And then when something good comes along, all of the negative things that you've gone through are still so overwhelming that you don't notice the little tiny miracles that happen in your day-to-day life. And so what I oftentimes advise my clients to do when this card falls to them is, yes, just as you said, Kat, you need to take time to mourn the loss of your pet, to allow yourself to truly feel the emotions that you're feeling, and give yourself, be kind to yourself and love yourself enough to give yourself that moment of grief. But at the same time, while you're grieving, don't allow those clouds to block the sunlight from the good things that are also happening in your life, because now is a good time to use some gratitude for the little blessings that come your way every day. And I mean that quite literally, to express verbally gratitude for the things that you do have, so that you don't fall into one of those deep depressive states space. Because if you do, what will happen is you'll start to actually draw more unfortunate experiences to you. You know, you start to draw that dark cloud will just start to make you only see darkness, okay? So we want you to also express gratitude for the good things you have. You know, I'm grateful that I still have a roof over my head. I'm grateful for this beautiful morning. I'm grateful for the cool, crisp autumn air that's showing me that the seasons are turning and that the holidays are upon us. You know, little things like that. I'm grateful for the meal I'm eating for, you know, people that don't have food. There's a lot of little things we can do throughout our day to help us maintain that attitude of gratitude so we don't slip into that kind of depression. Because that's my main concern with a lot of the sadness that you've been through. I don't want you to slip into a real depressive place to where you'll actually start to isolate yourself from the people that love you in your life. Okay? That's my main concern here. You know, I see in the future actually that you'll start to get a little more mental clarity by this tiny little exercise of daily gratitude, and that I think the situation is going to turn around for you with the work that that Ali is going to recommend, and that all of us are going to recommend for you. I think we can do some cleansing to help get some of the negativity, the gunk that sticks to you when you go through difficult emotional experiences like this. You want to cleanse that away so it doesn't just cling to you and continue to drag you down, so that you can walk into your future with your head held high, feeling confident, but most importantly, hopeful for the bright, shining sun that's in your future, okay? Because that's what we want to see in your future. That's what I talk about.
Yeah. You know, Marin Graves said something in the chat room, and she's been a guest here. Marin Graves is a member of AIR and a wonderful card reader and a very, very beautiful worker. She said something, too, about the Three of Pentacles. She said, perhaps you might want to do some spiritual work, you know, either through a church or through a nonprofit organization, because that card does indicate looking for the help of others. And so that's a very good suggestion. Thank you very much. Within a spiritual organization, she wrote, seek comfort and community to get through this. And that is what that card is definitely about. Thank you, Marin, for pointing that out.
Right.
So, Ali, what do you think would be called upon here as a form of remediation?
Well, my dear, I think that what Kat, Dr. E, and Marin, our listener and the person in the chat, wonderful reader, are absolutely right. Some type of involvement with a spiritual organization is going to be great. And Sarah Magnuson mentioned the Crystal Silence League earlier, and I think she's on. I want you to go to the Crystal Silence League, and which Dr. E, myself, Kat, and many of us are involved in. Go ahead and put your petition in there, and what we'll do is all of us as a community will pray for you, you know, and you'll get a notification that someone has prayed for you and for your loss and helped you through this so that you're not alone, that you don't feel like you're being abandoned. You have a community of spiritual workers with the Crystal Silence League who will place your petition, will place your photo under their crystal balls on their altars, and will send beautiful prayers out into the world for you and pray on your behalf. I think that really, considering that, you know, the pentacles can very much be seen as three little crystal balls, it'll be ideal for you. So go to the Crystal Silence League. The other thing that I think will really help you is to understand that while physically you may have lost, you have gained a powerful spiritual companion who will always remain in your life if you dedicate a place to him. Set up a little shrine for your, you know, your lost friend. Put a picture of him up, light a candle, and he will always be your companion. That beautiful pug of yours will always walk by your side and stay in your home if you give him a home. Know that he's not gone, and know that he'll still be with you. Set up an altar, put some Althea leaf out, which is great for this. I would actually recommend burning the Althea leaf as incense, because not only will that have a soothing effect on your spirit, but it will also call his spirit to you. And in combination with the Crystal Silence League, I think that we can really, really help you mourn this situation, but help transition to the next state of this relationship. Because this relationship, this companionship, this friendship isn't over. It's just moved into a different state.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to tell you a very brief little thing. We lost a beautiful old dog whom we loved a great deal, named Eris, and she was a Portuguese water dog. And when she died, I clipped a little bit of her fur before we buried her, and I put it in a little beaded pouch, which I would wear, you know, just to keep her close to me. And I wanted to get another dog. Quite a bit of time passed before we were over our grief and ready to get another dog. And I went to Ohio to look at Portuguese water dogs at a kennel. And they said, well, we're going to bring out the dog, you know, dogs one at a time and look at them. This one dog just came running out. She ran right up to me. She stood on her hind legs, and she smelled my little beaded pouch. And I thought, Eris says yes. She says yes. I could see it. She looked right into my eyes, and she was saying, "Eris says that I should be your dog bear." It was so clear.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And so that is my Sophie that we have now. Sophie is our dog, and others. Eris, the Doggess of Discord, was her name, and she sent us Sophia, the Doggess of Wisdom, and I just tell you that your little Pugsy there will certainly guide you to the next dog who will be your companion and will always be a part of you.
It's very hard.
It is hard, but it does happen, and you will.
I felt bad. I didn't know if I did the right thing. I didn't know if I could have saved her. I tried. I did what I thought I was right at the time, and then I started second guessing, and then a day after I had taken her to be cremated, I had to go right to the hospital. So it was just too many things at once.
Yeah. Well, you know, make a little memorial place, a little altar to her, and you know, and say, you know, she wants to be by your side, you know, and say to her, you know, you always walk by my side, you know. And then ask her, just ask her in spirit, send me another little companion dog. Please, send me another little companion. Let me know when that dog is the right dog. I think it'll happen, honey. And it'll be okay. It'll take a while. But the Crystal Silence people will certainly pray for you. And all pet lovers everywhere understand this. And you know, you have friends everywhere who are, you know, praying and hoping for this, you know, you'll get through it. You'll get through it, sweetheart. It's hard. It's very hard. But, you know, it's funny. One of the things that Nagashiva said in the chat room is it could become the beginning of ancestor work as well. Some people think that is sacrilegious to talk about putting a dog's mementos on your ancestor altar. But I was taught that early, back in Oakland, California, by a man. I said I didn't know where my people were buried because of the Jewish Holocaust. They were all, you know, dead in somewhere in some concentration camp. I didn't know where they were, and I couldn't go to their grave and get their graveyard dirt in the old traditional hoodoo way. And he said, well, you know, even if you had even a little yellow spotted dog, and you knew they buried the dog in your backyard, he goes, that dog would still work for you and be your friend. And I thought, you know, he was right. And so after death, our companions stay with us in spirit. Okay. And LaShonda says in the chat room, I have my cat on my ancestor altar. Yes,
I do too.
That. Yeah. All right, honey. Good luck to you. And
thank you very much.
You know, yeah, good luck. All right.
Good luck, my dear.
All righty.
Thank you.
So, Tammy Lee.
God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Cat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oils, sachet powders, and incense, crystal salts for spiritual baths and floor wash, herbs, resins, waters, and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folkloric amulets, talismans, and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now let's return to those callers who've signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And our next caller is calling from area code 516 from New York, New York. This is Bella Mars. Bella?
Mars? Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Bella.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Bella.
Great.
You've been on the show before, is that correct?
Yeah, earlier this year.
I'm back.
That's what
welcome
I thought.
Back.
Okay. So, yeah, welcome back. So, Tammy Lee, can
you
read her?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. She writes, I worked a fiery wall of protection back in March, April of this year, and I thought things were going to get better, but they haven't. I've had a string of bad luck, to put it mildly, this year. I also noticed that after surgery in August, my severe head, neck, and shoulder pain went away. I just started my honey jar again, and other things that were told to me by my worker to enhance my honey jar and things to stop gossip. Then suddenly my head, neck, and shoulder pain came back. During the recovery period from my surgery, I wasn't doing any work. I was wondering if someone is blocking me from doing works to attain what I want. I realized that whenever I do this sort of work, I get fatigued as though all of my energy is drained. I get confused, shoulder, neck, and head pain, and things that could happen close to my family. The list goes on and on. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So, Ollie, would you start us off with a reading on this situation? As I understand it, when she does work to help herself, she gets de-energized and gets pain, and she wants to know if someone is blocking her work.
Right.
Yes.
And hi, Bella. Welcome to the show again. It's lovely to talk
to you.
Thank you. You also are asking, you said that you've had a string of bad luck this year, and that you were advised by the radio show last time you called to do a fiery wall of protection, but things are still going in a downward spiral. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Like right after I had done the fiery wall of protection, like, and it's funny, I was just like just jotting down the things that happened to me, and I kind of noticed a pattern that I don't know why I didn't pick it up before. Right after I did the fiery wall of protection, my basement flooded. The next day, my saltwater tank, my 2-year-old killed it.
Oh.
So all the fish and stuff died. Then a few months later, the basement flooded again, but this time it was my 2-year-old that flushed the dolphin down the toilet. But the basement flooded, and the saltwater tank died again.
Can I ask a quick question
yeah.
here? When you did your firewall protection, before you did that, did you do some cleansing work?
I did. I did
okay.
I did cleansing on myself and on the entire house.
And I have a question to ask you. I'm looking
mm-hmm.
into my crystal ball here, and now, are you Brazilian, or have you lived in Brazil ever, or
yes,
any connection you have? Okay, I'm getting,
yes.
and I'm going to tell you this. I'm getting a spirit that is working against you. Someone has, and I believe this was confirmed in the past. You have been told that someone's working for you. I have a specific name for you of Tata Caviera. This is a specific Exu. This is a spirit that comes out of Brazil, and that's why I asked you if you know someone in Brazil or if you've lived in Brazil.
Yeah.
Do you suspect an enemy in Brazil?
Yeah, that's exactly
yes.
where I expect it from.
Right. I'm picking that up in my crystal ball, and I'm seeing it very clearly, and I see the image of Exu Tata Caviera. Exu Tata Caviera is a skeletal figure sitting on a throne with a red cloak or a black cloak. He is often called in Macumba works or Kimbanda works, and he's got an obsessive quality to him. When he is attached to an individual, he will repeatedly uproot and destroy that person's life, but he does it in patterns. You will notice that certain days of the week he will attack you, certain times of the month he will attack you. After certain events, he will attack you. Like, let's say you try to do a cleansing, he comes in and attacks. Exu Tata Caviera is one of the more common Exus that is worked with. I am seeing that in my crystal ball that this person, is this a relative of yours or connected
yeah.
to your family? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. This person has, and are they involved in Kimbanda or Umbanda?
Yep. yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. They've called up. Exu Tata Caviera against you now. There's a specific way of appeasing him and removing him from this situation. But let's go to my colleagues and see what they see in this situation. What I'm seeing is that, yes, you are being blocked. Yes, you have been attacked. And it is Exu Tata Caviera.
Ollie, if I may.
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Ollie.
Wow. All right.
I'm sorry. I'll let the colleague go ahead.
Okay.
I was just wondering,
I'd like to,
does it, okay.
I'd like to just see what I see, and I'm going to throw bones on this. And when I throw bones for the radio show, as I explain to people, I throw only a few of the bones that I have. And so I'm just, I reach in and I get a small amount of them, okay? Because these are, you know, short readings, okay? So let me sit down here and I'm going to throw the bones. You'll probably hear them rattling around here. And here we go. All right. So what I have is a situation that says to me that there is definitely an attack against you.
Mm-hmm.
The attack is done in such a way as to cause you to doubt yourself, cause you to doubt what's happening. There's a little coyote claw, and the coyote claw is curled around an abalone shell. The abalone shell says to me, there's something about this water. I'm seeing all this, you know, you did a fiery wall of protection, and now all these weird water things are happening. Someone's trying to put out your fiery wall.
Three times.
And the abalone shell, of course, represents the sea, represents water,
mm-hmm.
and there's this coyote claw embracing it, and that is coming at and sort of how can I put this, lying over the side of the little doll head that I use. Now the doll head that I have in my bones is a little Chinaware doll that is filled with the graveyard dirt of a baby from that baby's grave, that spirit who works with me. And the doll tells me the direction that things are coming from, the quality of it, by the way that the little doll head points. And the doll head is pointing definitely to the south as I threw it. And the doll head is partially down, which says to me that there's also been an attempt to make you not understand what's happening. In other words, to conceal it from your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the around the doll head, sort of leading away from it, is the rib bone of a python, a snake. And
mm-hmm.
that is an attempt to strangle you or hold you back, and also to hold back divination on this very subject. So that's what I see. Now, Dr. E, what do you think should be done here, and what do you say?
Well, Ali and you both absolutely nailed it. I was actually throwing chamalongos while you were talking, Ali, and asking my spirits. I was told that the way of correcting the situation is a combination of appeasement of that issue along with fighting back with fire. Now, I don't know exactly how that issue is worked with, but the reasons, my spirits also elaborated that some of the reason this is done was for monetary reasons, financial reasons, and money is involved in some way in this. But the Ali can elaborate on how to appease that issue. But the working, now if I were cleansing you, I would probably do a cleansing with bundles of herbs that are fiery in nature, things that are hot and spicy, and then I would finish it off by doing I would actually draw a circle around you on the ground. Of course, this would be done outside, of gunpowder, and I would ignite that gunpowder to just whoosh, you know, sort of push this curse off of you. And I do think that fire needs to be done. Now, most people can't get their hands on gunpowder, and most people don't want to do this because it's a little hazardous. So I think a good way of doing this, like I said, is to take a bundle of hot herbs and pass it over your body from your head down to your feet. You can just get anything that's got even red in color, you know, anything that's reminiscent mm-hmm. of fire, and pass it over your body as you're praying, you know, and you can pray any multitude of psalms. I like Psalm 23. Pray Psalm 23 as you're washing I'm sweeping this bundle of herbs over your body. When you get down to your feet, take the herbs and break them in half. You know, just like a break this off of me, throw them mm-hmm. on the ground and stand on them, almost like you're standing over a conquered victim, okay? And say, mm-hmm. I have conquered this, I have gotten this off of me, and then place four candles around you on the ground, kind of like at the cardinal points, you know, north, south, east, west, and
mm-hmm.
light them. And say, I now stand in the center of a fiery wall of protection. I am surrounded and protected with divine fire. I am wrapped in the wings of God's angels, and I am protected by God's flaming name that radiates before me, behind me, beside me, on either side, and all around me. And I am untouched. I am unable to be touched in the future by this ever again. Now, that will get it off of you, but you still need to appease this Eshu, or it's just going to keep messing with you, because that's the nature of Eshu. It's trickstery. So I'm going to bounce it over to Conjurman Ali and let him elaborate on how you can appease this spirit so that it doesn't come back to bother you again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Dr. E's right is excellent. I think that's exactly where you need the type of protection. It's fiery wall, but you put yourself literally in there. And gunpowder is an excellent addition because Eshu responds to gunpowder. It's one of the most powerful forms of cleansing to remove the hand.
Don't I know it?
he hit the nail on the head with that one. This is what you need to do in order to appease this Eshu. Eshu Taka Kaviera is often connected to the cemetery, and he is under the ruling of another spirit known as Omulu. And what you need to do is you need to take 2 bottles of rum, you need to take 4 cigars, and you need to take 9 coins, and you need to take 6 candles with you, okay? 6 candles.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the brickyard. What you're going to do is you're going to leave the first bottle of rum and the 2 cigars with 3 coins at the gate of the cemetery, and you go, "Spirit of the cemetery, I ask for your permission to work in this place."
Mm-hmm.
Leave those offerings, and you go and find the largest cross that you can find in the cemetery. More often than not, if it's an older cemetery, there will be a central cross. There's a big, large cross right in the middle of the cemetery. If you find that is the one you want to work with, if it's not an older cemetery and it doesn't have that central cross, find a grave with a large cross on it. Go to that grave. To the left, you're going to give an offering to Eshu Tata Kaviera. Leave a white candle, leave the cigars, leave the 3 coins, and go, "Eshu Tata Kaviera, you have been sent. I ask that you be appeased and release me from your hold." Then you turn to the back side of that cross, that back side of that grave. You take the rum and you wash the cross with it. And you cry out. You go, "Omulu, Omulu, Eshu Tata Kaviera has released his leeches on me, his larvae on me. I have been attacked and I have been unjustly attacked. I come to you with these offerings." Put the other 3 coins there. Wash the cross with the rum, and then light your candles. One of the candles, what you need to do is you take that candle unlit and rub it from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet as if you're wiping dirt off with that candle. And what that candle will do is the Omulu will use that candle to literally remove this spirit's hold on your body. You wipe yourself all the way down, put that right behind that central cross, light it. Then 3 steps backwards, turn around, and walk away without looking back. The key is to not look back. What that does is it cuts you by doing this type of action where you step backwards 3 times and then turn around. You're cutting yourself from the connection that Eshu Tata Kaviera has. And in addition to the work that Dr. E has given you, I think that this will really turn the situation around and finally release the hold Eshu Tata Kaviera.
One thing I forgot to add is once you're done breaking those herbs and all of that, lighting the candles, I would stand in the center of those 4 candles and recite Psalm 23, you know, I'd probably recite it about 9 times over and over and over. The more you recite it, the stronger it gets. And then once you're done, go ahead and snuff out the candles. Don't blow them out. I find that to be a little offensive, but I actually will either pinch them out or I'll like lick a finger and, you know, tap it until it turns off.
Mm-hmm.
And then take the herb, the bundle of herbs, and you can actually go to a river that flows out of your town and just throw them into the river over your left shoulder and say, you know, "Hey, God, take this off of me once and for all, and as this river flows out of town, so shall this negative effect flow out of my life. Amen." Throw it over your shoulder. Don't look back. Let it flow away. And then you can take those 4 candles and you can bring them home. And you can actually light one in your living room. Of course, use candle holders. Let's be safe here. Light one in your living room, one in your bedroom, one in your kitchen, and one in your bathroom. Now, the reason for that is your living room is where most of us spend our time, of course. The kitchen is where we have most fire and water and plumbing in our house, so we don't want to have any accidents in there. You want to be able to rest well and be protected when you sleep, so that's why we burn one in your bedroom. And the bathroom is where we maintain our hygiene and our health. And we want to add light to that space in your house so that when you're, you know, in that private, vulnerable space, you are also protected as well. Because, I mean,
yes.
Think about it. When you go to the bathroom is when you take all your charms off, you take your mojo bag off, you know, and you're unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have some light in there as well. So just let them burn all the way down. Of course, keep an eye on them and make sure that, you know, that they're burning safely. And just let them burn all the way down.
Okay.
That's
and
wonderful.
What color candles?
What color reminds you of fire?
Red.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. For my
okay.
work.
And that's white candles. Yes.
And, yeah.
His work is white. Mine are red.
Okay.
Yes. Protection yeah. red. I like
it,
the red.
You know, and that brings something just to briefly say about colors of candles. I always just try to speak a little historically. Candles did not used to be colored. The use of colored candles only came in after paraffin candles and paraffin soluble dyes came in. So what I tell people is if you want to work with a natural beeswax candle, well, that'll be kind of a tan color. If you want to work with a white undyed candle, that's fine. If you want to use with colors, just try to pick an appropriate color. So red, but if you can't get it, white is kind of the universal mm-hmm. color or a natural beeswax candle, okay?
Okay.
All right. There's a lot of work for you to do.
If
you didn't take notes, you can listen to this show in the archives. All right.
Yes.
And it'll all be there, and you can take notes. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much
great.
For your
Thank
call.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you.
For
all
calling
right.
In.
Good luck
to everyone.
Everything.
Thank
take
you.
Care.
Thanks.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Cad. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to get to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling from area code 701. This is Queen of Swords and from Sierra Vista, Arizona. Queen of Swords, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi,
how are you? Great. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your case. And she writes, I've been seeing master numbers since the beginning of the year, 11, 22, 33, etc. I know that seeing them means balance, but I believe the universe is sending me a message that I cannot figure out. Can you assist me in figuring out the message I am being sent from above? Thanks. Turning it back over to you.
Oh, what a wonderful question. I'm going to take just a moment to explain what is meant by master numbers, because not everyone who listens to the show knows about numerology, but you do, Queen of Swords 11, and I see 11 is at the end of your name. There are systems of numerology in which one takes letters of the alphabet and assigns them numbers, takes words and puts them into numbers and then adds the numbers up and you get numbers that represent the words. There are two major systems that are used in America, and one of them reduces all of the words and numbers to digits, 1, 2, 3, and so forth, through 9. And there's another system that is very, very old and traditional, and which happens to be the one that I use, too, which is that if something reduces to an 11, you don't add the 1 and 1 and make 2. So there are three master numbers, number 11, number 22, and some will say number 33. So that's what you're referring to, right? Queen of Swords 11?
Yes.
And the reason I know this, I was taught this form of reading numbers a long time ago by a woman named Mrs. Hare, and she pointed out that my name, Catherine, comes down to 11, which is a master number, and not ever to reduce my name. And the last name, Ironwood, which I selected the spelling of with my ex-partner, it was selected to come out to 11, so that Catherine Ironwood is 1111. So,
oh, wow.
And when people call me at Hoodoo Psychics, what's my extension number? 1111. So I'm with you, babe, on this one. Okay. So, Dr. E, would you do a reading on this?
Would you like me to do a Dila Goo reading on this? Or would you like regular cards?
I'm for Dila Goo.
I'm for Dila Goo. Come on, let's go for
it. We're in for a treat, too. You don't hear this stuff anywhere else, so I'm very excited.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I'm very honored that you would allow me the ability to go ahead and read this for all of you. Okay, I'm going to abbreviate my prayers just a little bit for time's sake. Okay. Now, what this is going to do, and the reason I wanted to use this method is because it's going to talk about the energy pattern that's around you. And in many ways, that's going to give us a deeper understanding of why these numbers keep coming up, what it means. And our divination system goes up to 16. So if the number 11 comes out, I'm going to laugh my head off. So let's see. Okay? Omi tutu ona tutu, tutu aroye, tutu ile. I'm going to be praying in African, and I'm going to be invoking my ancestors in lineage. Moluba olorun olofi olodumare odutua odunion irini orini. Yabaya kushe kaile ati tekere okusungu miyo misaya umidina oyirmina kastel yaya imenke Jose Antonio Lisa Juliandre Samario Libunda. Oscar Caricha y Melo Olvidere con el clave cuchillo negro Badi Neyan Caricha José Roche Liberato Taza Gastando Lado Roja para su cueva ochetura. Yabaya bobo gungunle iami o niosuni yabaya bobo gungunle baba mima molguteres. Ibaye bobo gungunde obato bini obamujiba ibaye bobo gungunde ojibonami oloyimi kinte mashe ya oniosun kinte mashe manuditeres kinte mashe obamujiba kinte mashe oloyimi kinte mashe iwor oyonika leile ele gua aquí está ikudayo su amo reading the dilogun for your daughter. You know her name. And she's asking to inquire and find out why these numbers keep appearing in her life. You, who are the owner of the crossroads, who live behind every door and who know everyone's fate, who understand the significance of these numbers, I come to you today to find out the mystery that you seek to reveal to your daughter. Okay, I'll try it out. That's your show. That's your knee. 2, 3. Unle. Unle is the number 8. Very sacred number in our system. I write this down. And the second cast gives us our composite number. Unle D 87. Baba mi ire, does this reading come with blessings? Umbara, that's 6. Obarache, yes, it comes with blessings. Irariku. Unle, yes. Ariku. Blessings of long life, health, and longevity. By the way, is this Irariku Yale? Are these blessings firm? Yes. That's very good, because that means I don't need to prescribe any abotu, any rituals or anything like that. That makes things a lot easier to discuss. All right. So I like speaking to you today with the pattern 8-7. Okay, 8-7 is a very interesting pattern. What it says is that you are a natural-born leader. You are a person that has a vast amount of talents, somebody that is envied by many people because you have these talents. Elegua is telling you that there's an important need for you to be humble, but not be falsely humble. So recognize your talents, but don't boast about them. And at the same time, don't talk yourself down. I think what the master numbers are pointing to is the fact that you have a natural, untapped spiritual ability that has very practical applications. Because 8-7 says, use your head instead of your hands. Work smarter, not harder. Learn what it means to be a leader, but also learn what it means to be gracious and be humble when you are dealing with elders and people that have more information. Because you're smart enough to sit quietly and listen when you're in the presence of elders and absorb their information. Whereas you get all up in their business and start saying, well, what does this mean? And how do I do this? And what do I do about this? They're not going to want to teach you anything. So in many ways, this is teaching you the mastery of observation and learning to perceive what's going on around you. Now, this letter also advises that there is a warning that people like to talk about you. People like to gossip about you, and in order for you to make the most out of these blessings and these natural talents that you have, like I said, don't boast about your talents. When you do a good job, which you usually do, you strive for perfection. When you do a good job, do it for the pleasure of the work. Don't hang around and wait for the accolades. Don't hang around for the people to, you know, pat you on the back and tell you what a great person you are. Just do it, and then go home with the satisfaction of knowing that you did a good job. Because if you stick around, then the tongues are going to start wagging, and people are going to start saying, oh, well, you know, she just does this because she just thinks she's all that, and I don't know who she thinks. You know, that's how people are. People are hateful, you know, in this sign. And one of the things that I tell people is you're brilliant, and people respond to brilliance in one of two ways. They either respond like moths or they respond like cockroaches. They're either going to flock to the light and want to be part of it, or they're going to vilify it and skitter under the refrigerator thinking it's the most evil thing on the planet. Okay? This is a great sign of spiritual power. And it also talks a lot about the spiritual power coming down to the female lineage in your family. Do you work any divination tools, or do you have a personal spiritual practice that you engage in?
Yes, I just started doing root work recently within the past few months or so, and I am just starting to branch out, and I'm going to start doing some work for my family members.
Excellent, excellent. One of the things, do you use divination as part of your work?
I was told that numbers are my divination. I'm trying to figure everything out. I'm just so brand new.
Great.
I'm just learning right now.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, and absolutely, you can use numbers as divination. And, you know, you may find some affinity with geomancy, which is a binary method of divination that both Khandrim and Ali and I use, which is really great, black and white, gets to the point, you know, and it's wonderful. The advice that really comes with this sign is that you can make something out of nothing. So make something good. You know, and that's the blessing of the sign. You can give in a lot of ashe, a lot of power to be able to make good things happen. So restrain your tongue and say things consciously, say things carefully. Because Elegua is saying here that, and Elegua is the god of the crossroads that I mentioned earlier in my prayer, he is saying that you have a great blessing. He's blessing you with life. He's blessing you with leadership. He's blessing you with stability. You know, what else could we ask for in life? Stability, health, leadership, those are all wonderful things, okay? But there are no roses without thorns, okay? So even with all this good stuff, there's still going to be little obstacles that you run into. But if you apply your mastery of your spirituality, a little divination, and keep working your roots, you're going to be in a really wonderful, wonderful place. This is actually a very positive and beautiful sign. And to close it out, one of the things that this sign, like to close the reading, one of the things that it says is that it is the head that carries the body, okay? So look at what you're thinking. Look at the thoughts that you carry throughout your day. What sort of mental chants, you know, like mantras are you repeating throughout your day? Because that's what's going to lead you through life. If you find yourself saying life-affirming positive things, you're going to have a life filled with blessings. But if you find yourself complaining or, you know, talking about other people's business, that's just going to drag you down. Rise above it, keep your head held high, and don't worry about the haters because you're going to be just fine.
Okay,
that's what my reading says.
Wonderful.
Great, thank you.
Ali, what do you see here?
You know, I 100% agree, and what a beautiful reading. And I think Dr. E is absolutely right.
By the way, I just have to say one more thing about that. Dr. E, if we'd been in church, I'd have been fanning you, but you don't know what that's all about.
No, I do.
People know what I'm saying.
We're going to bring up the cape and put it on me and start fanning me, yeah.
I love it. And you know what? I agree with Dr. E, who's right on the spot. You have Queen of Swords, you have latent, powerful abilities, and these are intuitive, natural abilities, you know, that spring from the heart and from the mind. And the fact that he says he brings up your mind is very good, because I've been looking at my crystal ball. I'm in a crystal ball type of mood, as you can tell. I've been looking at my crystal ball, and I see lines and dots in the sand, and that is geomancy, and it's the accuracy that Dr. E picked up on that is just beautiful. Geomancy is something that I think you should look into. I think that you're doing root work for others. That's great. I sense you have great talent for spiritual work, and especially for divination and numerology. geomancy is one of the divinations that I want you to look into, because I think you will have a natural knack for it. It's not
absolutely
as complicated as astrology, and it has that numerical quality to it that's really going to resonate really well for you. And that's what I see in my crystal ball, is lines and dots in the sand, which are just going to be excellent for you. So look into geomancy. Look into developing those natural abilities that Dr. E has hit on, and I think you're gonna go on to be one of those spiritual workers that is gonna make something of themselves.
Great, yeah. Thank you so much.
I'd like to say something too here from my old-fashioned spiritualist viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
When we get these runs of numbers like this, and you called us to ask us, really, why am I seeing these master numbers? I just felt this immediate heart link with you. She even knows what master numbers are. Not too many people follow these forms. And I think you've seen the master numbers, so you'd call us and talk to us, and we'd tell you there's a lot more here than you thought. And so those numbers do represent balance and harmony in certain forms. That is correct. But also they are so unusual and so unique and stand out. Also, I would tell you, I presume if you know that much, you've done some numerology on your own name, which I don't know your real name. I just have this, you know, Queen of Swords 11 as your handle here. But you might, one of the things that I was taught, and as I told you by this old woman, Mrs. Hare, she said, get yourself a last name that matches your first name, because you had that 11. So if you want to work with numbers in your name, there will be ways and forms of signing your name that will be more powerful. You probably know what I'm talking about. Whether you use a middle initial or a full middle name, or whether you use a nickname or not, those things resonate. And they have a power and a meaning in and of themselves that go into the world. But you knew that already, I know, but I'm just reaffirming that to you. And I think you do have some very definite spiritual gifts. And what you've just been, it's like a little breadcrumb trail from spirit says, hey, go over there and ask these people. And we all go, hey, welcome home. You know, you're one of us, you know.
Kat, can I ask her one more question?
Sure.
Is she married? Are you married?
No, sir.
Okay, because this letter oftentimes talks about marriage and love coming into a person's life as well. And it's funny, in this sign, 8-7, it is said that God created marriage because after God created sexual intercourse, men were taking advantage of women and dumping the kids on them. So then God created marriage so that women would regain the power in the relationship and be able to balance out the force of sexual intercourse in this world. So it is said that marriage and love are born in this sign. And I just thought that would be kind of interesting, a little bit of lore to throw in there as well.
Wow. All right. Well, that's really amazing. Well, thank you very much for allowing us to read for you. You have a strong future ahead of you as a reader, a diviner, and a spiritual worker, and I'm very glad to greet you on those terms.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I look forward to hearing more about you, because I have no doubt that we will be hearing more about you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you, sweetheart, and God bless you.
Cool.
All right. All right, Miss Tammy Lee, we're coming up on our special segment that we're going to do this week, a little different. So give us the words of wisdom, Miss.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And this segment is being used to discuss the current controversy in our internet community of illegal animal torture and its relationship, if any, to the legal and sanctioned ritual sacrifices in African traditional religions. Dr. E, an initiated Pali priest of over 10 years' experience, will address this issue. Turning it back over to all of you.
All right, thank you. Now I'm going to just say a few little words before we bring Dr. E into this with some definitive words.
Yes.
As many of you know, and this is, I believe, why we have so many people in our chat room today, over 100 people in the chat room, which is high for us, and I hope more join, because we're here to talk about it and get it out in the air. There has been some recent internet controversy about animal torture. It has been all over Facebook, particularly, and those of you who follow the internet occult, African traditional religion or ATR community, hoodoo community, and conjure workers on Facebook will know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get into names particularly, although I will if we have to, but there has been some evidence posted at Facebook of one of our former colleagues burning a chicken alive on the grave of a young man, on the gravestone of a young man. And the gravestone even showed the young man's portrait and his name. And the person who did this, Kenneth Fuller, I guess I did get into names there, known to many people as Dr. Keone, took credit for this on his Facebook post for burning this chicken alive. This led to the Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches, of which he had been a bishop at one time. He had resigned. He had then come back as a bishop emeritus. And we had a board meeting, and the board of bishops of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church removed from him the title of bishop emeritus because we do not condone animal torture. Now, animal torture, as defined in Florida, where this took place, it took place in a cemetery in Cocoa, Florida, it specifically states that you may not burn animals alive, and that is not protected religious ritual. And they in Florida, they have two exceptions here. One is religious slaughter. In other words, Jewish or Muslim kosher or halal slaughter is allowed, and so is ritual animal sacrifice in the ATR forms, and they are both restricted to cutting the carotid arteries and not to burning animals alive, which is considered to be torture and animal cruelty. So we took steps against him. He had been a member but had quit AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. AIR committee of the church added to our code of conduct that we do not permit animal torture. We had never had it on there. It never even occurred to us that anyone would be doing animal torture in our group. But we did withdraw AIR's silence on the subject and put into that a statement, we do not perform animal torture. And so that's where things have been. Of course, there has been some blowback, and we're just going to let that lie because that's not our problem
right
at this point. But now we do have the question of ritual animal sacrifice, and there are people who come down on many sides about this and have a lot of questions. So I'd like to really open this up to Dr. E. I'd like you to talk about what was done and what is done within Palo, the religion that was being used, I would say, as a cover for what I consider to be an atrocious act of torturing an animal by setting it on fire while it was alive.
Thank you. And I'm glad that you'd allow me to speak on this. For people that don't know, I'm an initiated priest of 10 years in the Palo religion. Dr. Keone is also a practitioner of Palo of a different branch that I belong to, but that's like the difference between, you know, Baptists and Episcopalians. And at the heart of what we do, we believe the same things. But the problem that's here is one of proper, improper, legal, and illegal activity. Now, before I get into this, I want to say one very clear thing. I consider Dr. Keone a colleague and a brother in religion. I have nothing personal against him. He's always been very cordial to me and very professional, and I personally think he's a great guy, and I have nothing against him. I am saddened that he is misinterpreting my actions of starting this petition against him as a personal attack, and it is not. The reason I'm speaking out is because, for people that don't know, Dr. Keone was initiated into Palo approximately 2 years ago, more or less. I am, for all intents and purposes, his elder by 8 years in the religion. And for me to stand by and allow him to post these images of an atrocious act in the name of the religion that I belong to, I think for me to stand by silently would make me complicit in the act, and I can't do that, okay? So I think the African traditional religions have worked too hard to try to educate people and raise awareness and have people understand that what we do is ethical and that what we do is valid and not label what we do as inherently evil. You know, there was once upon a time that Hollywood's favorite, favorite whipping child was all of the African traditional religions. And mm-hmm. we worked really hard to change public opinion and educate people. And I think in many ways this works directly in violation of that effort. So what I want to say as a Tatabako Fula, as an initiated priest of 10 years in this religion, is that the proper way of sacrificing animals in our religion is done humanely. The animal is treated very humanely and with respect prior to the ceremony. There are laws around that. The animals have to be given a clean cage with food and water. They cannot be restrained. They cannot be starved or anything like that. And if you look closely in that image, the animal's feet are tied up. So right there, one law is being broken. Okay.
Wait, ma'am, I want to say, let me explain for people who are going to be listening to the archive. We're referring to the photo that was posted. It showed that it was a black rooster, and its feet were taped together round and round with clear packing tape, is what it looked like. Okay, that also is against the law in performing ritual sacrifice to do that. We're speaking here of the law. Thank you.
Right. Okay. And one thing I also want to make very clear is that I'm not saying that all sacrifice is wrong. I'm not taking this stance. I think that a sacrifice is an absolute valid practice within certain religions. Okay, so and I fully support Dr. Keone's ability to use valid animal sacrifice in the African traditional religions. Okay, when it's done properly and when it is done in a valid context. Okay, and it saddens me that Dr. Keone is arguing that this is us trying to silence his freedom of religion. The problem is, even if it's part of your religious practice, which in this case it is not, but even if it is, you still have to abide by the laws of the land. For example, if your religion says that you're allowed to marry 10 minors, okay, in our country we don't allow the marriage of minors. So you just can't do that, even if it is part of your religion. If part of your religion is that you like to randomly light buildings on fire, that is not allowed in our country. Okay, so you have to abide by the laws of the land. And in this case, we have laws about the respectful and ethical treatment of animals, even within a ritual, a ritualized sacrificial context. Now, in this case, Dr. Keone did not sever the carotid arteries of the animal, causing it to pass out prior to dying, which is why that is considered an ethical process. Instead, as he proudly claimed in this photo and on his website, and shared between his two Facebook pages, by the way, he said that he lit the animal on fire and let it burn alive. Okay, this is flat-out animal torture, and it's unacceptable. Now, if this was a valid method of sacrifice, I would back Dr. Keone until the end of the day. But because this was done in a manner that broke the law and that is not within the context of the religion that we both share, I can say as his elder, with the validity of my priesthood, that it is improper, and that's why I started that petition.
All right. Thank you for that, Dr. E. There are some questions in the chat room, and I'm going to address one of them. One of the questions was, why wasn't Dr. K talked about with this before privately? No communication, just an attack. This actually goes back farther, and I'm going to, again, be very blunt and very frank. People who listen to this show and have known that this show has been on the air for years and years know that Dr. Keone used to be the co-host. And back in 2008, March 21st of 2008, and I thank Nagashiva for finding that and Dr. E for actually isolating the little bit of text from it, Dr. Keone described a ritual, prescribed a ritual for a caller in which he told the caller to perform an act even more vile than burning an animal alive because it would take longer for the animal to suffer, in which the animal, it was a chicken, again a rooster, to be cut open in its chest with its organs exposed, which would cause it to slowly die of shock or bleeding to death, that the ritual objects or items concerned with some enemy were to be shoved into the open chest cavity of this dying chicken. The chicken was then to be pinned or nailed to a palm tree and left there to die. This caused a horrific uproar among our radio show listeners at the time and myself, And I told him I would not be on the air with him anymore if he ever spoke of such things again. I could not, I was so shocked when it happened. I have no proof that he actually committed acts of animal torture. For all I know, that particular clip was a fantasy of his. Now, I don't know if Nagashiva has that tape available for us. Do you,
Nagashiva? I do.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's hear the tape of Dr. Keone talking about this in the past. Roll the tape.
All right.
One calls for not using the worm at all. You just simply stab the tree. You put the name in the ground. But these are two that work. Now, you can go even further if you really want to make this really, 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 really work fast. Use a palm tree and pin a live black chicken to the tree, a rooster, as payment to the spirits that inhabit the tree. But of course, the only difference is that you will stuff the rooster. You cut the rooster's chest open and stuff the rooster's chest with the stuff that you would put in the ground. You don't put it in the ground. You put it in the rooster's chest, and the rooster has to still be alive when you pin it to the tree.
Okay.
And that person will die. Trust me.
Okay.
That person will die.
All right, boy, that just gives me the chills and makes me shake when I hear that. You can hardly imagine the way I felt being on the air with that man while he was saying that. I haven't heard it since then. I heard them editing the tape. I did not hear the complete clip. It is horrible to me. And there I was on the radio show with a man saying these things, my co-host. I didn't know what to do. I was shaken to the core. I try to be a good co-host. I try to be, you know, roll with the punches. It's improvisation. You're on the air. But I didn't know what to do. I'd hang up the phone, say, I can't never speak to you again. I don't know what to do.
Right.
Also, I'm a person of the law. I'm a person of practicality and of the law. For all I knew, and you all have to understand, I came to this out of a background of, you know, I was a comic book editor for 26 years, and people are blowing up planets, and you know, in comic books. You know, they're eating the whole planet of asparagus people alive, you know, whatever. So I'm looking at this, and I'm going, is this a fantasy? Is this real? Is this real? Is this a fantasy? I didn't know. Then he went on, and I believe, do we have that second piece of tape, Nagashiva?
Yes.
All right, so he went on to the caller, and he then said that he was going to perform this. Please roll that second piece of tape.
Macaulay is going to be here, I believe, it's in next month. I believe that's what we've established. And so I'm sure that we're going to be doing a variation, if not that particular spell, when she is here to take care of this problem.
All right. So now we have tape of him saying that he was planning to do a variation, if not that very spell, of cutting a chicken open and stuffing things into its chest, nailing it to a tree. I just have to say, it shocked me. We had a talk afterwards, and I said, do not ever do that again. Do not ever do that again to me. I cannot go on with that kind of material on the air. That is so against everything I believe in. I am very tolerant of people. I am a multiculturalist. I have friends in many traditions, but animal torture is against the law. It's against my morality. I managed to, in that segment, say I don't perform ritual sacrifice myself. I don't. I did not speak against those who do. I do not perform ritual sacrifice. I felt that's the most I could do to distance myself from him. But there you have it. He then did not mention this again, and we had no proof of it. When he posted the photo and the text in which he said he had burned the rooster alive to his Facebook page, this set into motion a chain of events, the first of which was that the Board of Bishops of the Church disaffiliated from him. because now we knew he was engaging in illegal animal torture. And the board minutes of the church are available. If you go to missionaryindependent.org, up at the top, click on newsletters and just click on the newsletter for 2011's board meeting of and there you have it. Now, it might have been a fantasy spell when he first said it. I'm not convinced now that it was a fantasy because burning animals alive is horrific. It's horrific. Cutting them open, nailing them to trees, these are horrific things to speak about. And I have to disavow evil openly, and I consider that work evil. So that is my statement on it. Now, I know that we've all been talked about, and it's been painted as if this had something to do with money. I think you can probably hear it in my voice. This has nothing to do with money. So, I'm sorry. I'm really overcome. Hearing that stuff again has really, it's like put me back. It's like a bad flashback to a situation that
I'm so sorry, Kat. And we can all hear in the voice how disturbing this really is for all of us. And one of the things that we want to make clear to everyone who's listening is while it is unfortunate that our colleague, Dr. K, has taken this as a personal attack against him and has resorted to slander and accusing us of doing things for money, we're not going to resort to those type of tactics. We have no issue with Dr. K as a person. We wish him all the best with his radio show. We wish him all the best with all of his endeavors. What we have an issue with is the unsanctioned illegal actions that we take. And as his colleagues, former colleagues, as his elders, as Dr. E is his elder, we implore him to stop such actions. They are illegal. They are wrong. They are unethical. That's all we are saying. We have no issues with him as a man. You're not going to hear this radio show turn into a us versus Dr. K. You're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear us disparage him as an individual because that's not who we are. There are several people who have contacted us because he sent out a blog post where he made various accusations that are simply false. One of them indicated that we stole the radio show from him, and we do need to address this. And that's not true. As many of our callers will attest, he decided to leave the radio show and locked out Kat and Nagashiva during that time. They finally scrambled to get in. They tried contacting him. He resigned from the radio show of his own volition. Again, we have no enmity against him. We have no malice against him. We wish him the best with his radio show. It is unfortunate that he decided to retaliate, so to speak, these type of tactics, not realizing that our only intent is the safety of these animals and to ensure that the ATRs are not being attacked for these cruel acts that are not part of the ATR.
Thank you, Ollie. Thank you very much. And just to go back to the situation of the radio show, I have always given all honor and respect to Dr. Keone. He was the one who came to me with the idea of a radio show. He had some background. He had some technology at a time when things like Blog Talk Radio did not exist. He had to do it all from a board, regular old-fashioned radio board studio in his home. He was wonderful. Everything he did was fantastic. I never would have broken with him. He quit the radio show several times, as you can tell by going through the archives. There are, you know, gaps and things like that. He also quit AIR once. He quit AIR twice. He quit the Board of Bishops of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. He has often quit, and he almost never gives notice when he does so. He just, I'm out of here. Often, there's not an argument. There's not even a something that I understand or that others around me have understood to be a spark that sets off his wanting to leave, but he does. And that's his personality. I've always been very easy with it. I'm a very stable person. I have let people come and go in my life. They're, oh, you're back again. Oh, hi, nice to see you. That's how I am. And so when we restarted the radio show, he came back and he said, let's start the radio show again. I said, fine with me. I said, but this time let's do it through Blog Talk Radio. We don't need to have this old-fashioned technology at your house. and we'll do it this way. And, you know, so we went to Blog Talk Radio, which means that we have a board op, and that was him, but through the software of Blog Talk Radio. And what Ollie was talking about is that Dr. Keone just didn't show up for the show. And I think some of you may remember that. I called out to Miss Michael, who was in the chat room. I said, Miss Michael, she was literally, I put her on the guest line and said, you're my co-host. Come on, let's do it, baby. And she did. She rose to the occasion beautifully. The next week, he did not show up, and we were locked out of the show. In other words, we could not start the chat room. We could not start the show. And Nagashiva scrambled. It took 20 minutes. Many people here in the chat remember what was going on. We were chatting. Eventually, we had the chat room going, but we couldn't get the radio show started. And we were going, come on, just hang on, hang on. And Miss Michael was not in the chat room, but Conjurman Ollie was. And I said, Ollie, get on the air with me. We got to have a show. So we did. And after that, we decided to continue with Ollie as my co-host. Well, and I'm very, very grateful to him for rising to that, and it's been wonderful fun. So we did not steal anything from him. He left us and disappeared. And that was that. There's many more things we could talk about, but that I just want to clear up that accusation, and thank you, Ollie, for mentioning it, too.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the issue of African traditional religions, because many people are interested in this. And I have done some research about it since all of this came out. I was really not a person who knew much about it. There are people who claim that all animal sacrifice is bad. I'm not one of those people. I don't do it myself. Could you, Dr. E., tell us, when someone does animal sacrifice in an African traditional religion, how is it usually done?
Well, I can only talk about the two African traditional religions that I belong to. I belong to Lugumi, and I belong to Pala, which Dr. Keone also belongs to. Okay, the sacrifice that is done with the animals, typically their feet and their beaks are washed first so that the offering is clean when it is presented to the gods. Okay, the animal is then presented to the individual that it's going to be sacrificed on behalf of, and usually that individual will hold the animal in their hand and pray and petition the gods for what they'd like. The animal is then handed over to the officiating priest that will be doing the sacrifice. The animal is held, in this case we'll talk about a rooster because it's a great example. The rooster will be held by its feet, and its wings will be held in a manner where the wings will not break or snap or anything like that. Typically, either the wings are held downward by the end feathers on the wings so that they're held in the same hand as the hand that's holding the feet, so that if the animal tries to struggle, it won't accidentally dislocate a shoulder or anything like that. And then a sharp knife is inserted into the carotid arteries quickly and easily so that the blood drains out and the animal passes out before it dies. And the reason this has been deemed humane is that it is actually one of the least painful ways for an animal to die, which is they actually
correct.
Do more brutal things than your typical slaughterhouse that you get your very sanitary packed meat in styrofoam containers from. They do far more brutal things there.
That's
so
right.
Once the animal has completely died and all the blood has stopped coming out of the animal and it is no longer moving, then typically the head is removed, and then the animal is set down by the shrine of whatever god it was fed to. Okay. Now, if you'll notice in that picture, the animal's head is still on it. So you know this
yes,
will not.
Yes, and there's no
properly.
Blood. There's no blood
there
anywhere.
In that photo. And Dr. Keone is very keen on showing pictures of blood when he does do blood sacrifice. There's no blood at all anywhere in that picture.
Yes. Yes. This is what's very important here. He has posted many pictures of blood sacrifices, and there's been no objection from anyone. He sent me some by email, and I said, I've slaughtered chickens myself. I'm a farm girl. I've raised chickens. You know, I don't like having to cut the head off a chicken, but it's, you know, you do it. You there's ways to, you know, kosher ways to kill the chicken. And there's also the old American, you know, Anglo-Germanic way to do it by cutting its head off. There's many ways to kill a chicken, and I was taught humane ways. And, but, you know, that is not what was done in this case. What was done in this case is the chicken had its feet tied together with clear tape. It was laid down on the grave of a young man who had died at the age of 23 in Pakistan. The grave had his name and his photo on it. And I want to talk about that for a moment, too. And then the animal was doused with some sort of flammable liquid. Dr. E said he thought it probably was rum, but it could have been lighter fluid. We don't know. Could have been gasoline. Could have been
no evidence. We have no evidence of that, right?
No evidence of what it was. But it was doused with something. It was set on fire, and a photo was taken while the chicken was burning. We don't know if it was alive or dead at the time, and he said it died alive in flames. This is horrific. Also horrific was the grave that this was done on. This was the grave of a young man who had died unexpectedly. Very, very much loved by his family. I'm not going to call his name. I don't want to add to their pain because this is very painful. In the photo, you can see there he is, smiling, you know, as he was in life. He was so loved. His mother, on her Facebook page, posted anti-animal abuse messages of puppies. I'm not kidding. This is tearful. This is sad. His family loved him so much that they erected a statue of him, a life-size statue of him.
Beautiful one.
As a guardian angel. A beautiful statue, homemade, all homemade statue, painted lifelike colors. And that statue is more or less a copy of a well-known statue of a black man as a guardian angel. He's bare-chested. He has a white skirt on and a golden wrestler's belt. And he has big white wings. It is the same image that we at Lucky Mojo Curio Company use on our protection candles and our protection oils. His family had put that statue up of him as a guardian angel. And I believe with all my heart that when that chicken was tortured on his grave, his spirit spoke and said no to that. His mother loved him a lot. He has his own memorial Facebook page for that young man. His mother keeps that page. This boy, man, he seems a boy to me because he died so young. This boy's right. Spirit says no, and to misuse that, to take and not only burn a chicken alive, but to burn it on the gravestone of a young man so loved, who had died so recently. In the town of Cocoa, Florida, he only died in 2010, whose family has considered him to be a guardian angel. That's shameful in a spiritual way that I feel very strong in my conviction that this is wrong, that this is wrong.
And I have goosebumps because when you said that they built that statue and I'm looking at that protection label, right at Lucky Mojo, and it is the same image, you know. I agree with you. His spirit called out for justice against an act that him and his mother feel so strongly about.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. Someone asked, Charles Porterfield asked in the chat room, do we know why he chose this man's grave? And he says he would very much like to know. You know, Charles, we don't know why he chose this man's grave. We could theorize. The statue of the angel is made with he's holding a halberd or a weapon of some sort, probably to stabilize the statue. And it may be that he was mistaken for a soldier. He actually was not a soldier. He was an independent contractor and died in Pakistan unexpectedly. And as far as I know, I don't know anything about the young man. I do know that his mother has started a bookstore. The grand opening of the bookstore just happened yesterday. The name of the bookstore is Essence of Knowledge, and that really spoke to me, too. She opened a bookstore and art gallery. She wants to promote literacy in the poor African-American community of Cocoa, Florida. The woman is a very wonderful woman, and she's gone on from the death of this son. She has two other living sons. She has a very supportive husband. There's spirit is walking and working here, And this is something that we can only just look at with a little bit of awe. But Essence of Knowledge is the name of the bookstore, and Essence of Knowledge is what was brought forth here. And
absolutely.
So I give all praise and glory to God on that one.
Absolutely.
And you know what? These are confusing times where lots of things are going on, dark times. What I would suggest for all our listeners, if you want to partake, light a candle, both for the spirit of this man, both that wisdom sees through in this situation, that the parties involved, you know, see their actions for what they truly are, that they learn from them, and that we can all grow as a community from this. Rather than turning this into a war, rather than making this seem like it's one group against another, this is the opportunity for dialogue and for correcting incorrect behavior, for rehabilitating behavior that is incorrect. So light a little candle in the dark times that we face.
If we are really, you know, ethical practitioners of light, we ultimately look at people to repent for what they've done, to rethink it, act differently, reform themselves. You know, we are forgiving people. If we really follow the path of light, we are forgiving people. And, you know, like I said, this is not anything personal against Dr. Keone. I just want him to stand up and say, you know what, you're right. What I did was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not going to make amends to that family. I'm not going to do it anymore. And thank you for, you know, calling me on this. You know, and I'll go have a beer with the guy. You know what I mean? I have no problem with him whatsoever.
Right. None of us
have
a problem
with the illegality. Right.
Right. We need peace and balance. And we have no issue with him either. Kat has been, and I can attest to this, speaking to Kat, looking how deeply she's shocked by this act and hurt by this act, and just her reaction from listening to the past radio show, you can tell how deeply it impacts her caring heart. But she has no issues with Dr. K. I have no issues with Dr.
No,
K. No,
I don't.
Dr. What we're hoping
this
for
is... I just... I'm sorry. I have to break in here. Because I'm being spoken about here. You know... It's been speculated this was a war. People have said, you know, why are you doing this war? Other people have said, are you being attacked spiritually? Others have posted on my Facebook page saying that evil spirits have caused us to have a war. No, none of that is true. People, you weren't there on the ground when it happened. You didn't see, you didn't know. This goes back to 2008, the moment that he was talking about cutting chickens open alive. I did not expect to see proof of it. I never thought, this will pass, and he won't mention it again, and he did not mention it again. When it was brought to my attention, it was brought to my attention by three people, and none of these people were on the board of bishops of our church. It was three people came to us and to me and said, here is this thing. I went to his page. I found out I couldn't see the picture myself because he had unfriended me, which I didn't know. But then on the other hand, the man had also locked me out of the radio show. So, when you get unfriended at Facebook, you don't know. So I couldn't see it. The picture was then captured. It was screenshots were made of the picture and the text of the photo of the burning of the chicken. We have those in our possession, and they've been pushed around. I mean, people all around the internet have seen them now. I believe they've been removed from the page. So, just to have some clarity on this here, I never speak ill of anyone unless they've done something that I consider to be tarnishing to my friends and my work. And the problem here is that. By these actions and by claiming that this was Apollo activity, this man has tarnished African traditional religions by breaking the law in the state of Florida in a horrific way, for which the state of Florida has deemed that the maximum penalty is a $10,000 fine and jail time. And I think it's 5 years in jail. And so I'm not saying he's going to get that. I hope he comes to his senses. I am saying that it seems evident to me that he broke that law. Okay, I'm thank you for letting me speak on my own behalf, but I have nothing against him. I hope that he understands. There are programs that help people who engage in animal torture and animal abuse to understand and develop empathy.
Right.
I hope he will develop empathy. Yes, I have slaughtered animals. Ritually and non-ritually, I've been a farmer. Dr. E has, I presume you have actually slaughtered animals. Is that correct? Ritually slaughtered.
I have, with the utmost of respect for the animal and done properly. Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Someone else posts here, Dr. Keone claimed that he did this kind of work for me. If he did, that is a mystery to me because I never asked for, nor would I have ever asked for, such a work. I will explain, though, again, just to set the record straight. We have a few minutes remaining. I'd be glad to. A man named John Hewitt, a student of mine, came to my house and stayed and lived with us for 3 weeks. He was here for the apprenticeship program that I give to my graduate students. This has been known and can be read about. This is no new revelation. He hacked into my computer network, and he attempted to download and steal all of the art for all of the Lucky Mojo labels, all of the formulas, and also my personal email with my daughter, everything. He had what was in those days a very rare new thing, a thumb drive, a flash drive. Those had just been invented. We found out that he had done it. We had a lawyer. He had a lawyer. He confessed his guilt, and he is under a bond, a very large monetary bond, to not, you know, to, and under the terms, I'm allowed to discuss that this happened too. Okay, while that was going on, I was, you know, shocked. This man I trusted, a graduate student of my class, had just, you know, stolen all his stuff, and that was pretty shocking. It was horrible. And Dr. Keone, being my friend, said, I will do a spell to get back on him. And I said, please, anything. At that point, I was very angry. I did not ask him what to do. I did not ask him to kill chickens or anything. And as far as I know, he never did kill a chicken. He sent me a bottle spell that he had made, and I considered it a very powerful bottle spell. He told me that it contained the heart of a pig that he had gotten from a slaughterhouse or a butchery, and that it was wrapped in black cloth, and it was in an African style, but it was also something I recognized from hoodoo. It was a reversal spell, and I considered it highly powerful spell, and I was grateful for him to have done it. And it had blood on it, and he said he had used pig's blood. He had not killed the pig, obviously. He had gotten the pig's blood. And I said, fine, thank you very much. I never heard of him having killed a chicken. Shortly thereafter, a feral cat, we live out in the country, and we have chickens, we raise chickens, and a feral cat got into our chicken pen and killed our banty rooster, who wounded the cat so badly that the cat died. The cat was seen injured, and then the cat died. And it was sort of sad because the cat could have been brought in and help, but we couldn't find the cat. And other neighbors talked about this, too. It was quite the seven-day wonder around Forestville. About a week later, I was talking to him, and I said, you know, he goes, how was going on? I said, well, you know, we had to repair the fence. His cat got in, my chicken. Blah, blah. He said, aha. He said, my spirits demanded the death of a rooster. And he goes, I knew you didn't like that. And he was, like, laughing at me. And I said, well, I don't know. You know, feral cats get into chicken coops and, you know. But I think he was right. I don't know. He set loose a spirit that demanded the death of my rooster. I don't know. I don't know how the feral cat figured into it. I just stand to one side and I watch it go by. I also will say, for the record, that years and years and years and years before I knew Dr. Keone, a raccoon got into my chicken coop and killed four hens, and nobody claimed it was spirit. They just thought it was a hungry raccoon. So these things happen. But in any case, I'm not dismissing that, but no. Just to make it very clear, for the record, I never hired Dr. Keone to kill chickens or to torture chickens on my behalf. If he killed one as a part of that, that's one thing. Again, I do not oppose ritual sacrifice if that is someone's religion, but I would never have hired him to do it, nor did I hire him to do that spell in the circumstance of the man who stole from me. that was something that he gave me as a gift. Remember, we were friends. And so I feel like, I hope I've set the record straight. If anyone has any other questions, I would certainly be glad to address them. I'm a very open person, and I live my life in the open. So I hope that, does that answer that question?
I hope so. Hey, Kat, if I could say something really quickly, a lot of people in the chat room are mentioning that this is a war and that it's being perceived as a war. I don't know about you, but I have no control over how people decide to perceive things. One thing my mama taught me is that no matter what you do, people are going to like you or people are going to hate you, and it has, oftentimes has very little to do with your actions. And so the only thing you can do is to stand up for what's right. And, you know, some people are going to hate me because I stand up for what's right, and they're going to hate me because I remain silent. And this is not a war. Like I said, I've never thrown for Dr. K. I have no reason to. It's a waste of energy, you know. I consider him a colleague, and I'm just addressing the illegality of his actions. That's all. You know, if he wants to perceive this as a war, that's his own choice of perception. I have not done anything on my behalf magically or in my phrasing or even in any of the statements that I've said to infer that. You know what I'm saying? And as his elder in the religion, you know, I've exercised a tremendous amount of restraint because I could easily, you know, do things. But that's not the point. You know what I mean? It's not about whether you have the tools or the weaponry to use. It's about what's your prudence in action. Are you going to rise above the situation and stand for a concept that's right? Or are you going to be someone that just runs out and starts swinging in every direction the minute you feel the slightest bit threatened? You know, This is not a war. It takes two sides to fight a war. I am not.
That is correct.
If he wants to come out and fight a battle, he's going to be fighting by himself or fighting with himself, because I'm not going to meet him on the battle. I have no interest in doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's
the same for me too. I signed the petition because I want to put an end to animal abuse. And those who know me also know that I have signed many petitions against animal abuse at that very same place, the petitionsite.com. So this is just me. That's how I am. I would also like to say before we close that he has made comments about money, about race, about religion, about sexual orientation, and a number of other things. They are not worth responding to because none of us even went there. None of us went there, and we didn't even, I mean, it wasn't even in our minds. I've always wanted Dr. Keone to be the successful, charismatic, wonderful person he could be, and I simply cannot abide animal abuse or torture. All right, I think we're going to have to bring this to a close. Those who are curious, go to the petition and sign it. You can read some of the comments. And thank you very much for this, allowing us to have this extra half hour. Thank you very much, Dr. E. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you, Dr. E., for speaking on an insider's perspective that we don't always have. We do definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, and for taking the time to explain to us what ritual sacrifice is and why it is not animal torture. Okay.
Thank you, and thank you for
all right. And next week we'll be back.
Tammy
B.
yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and thank you, Miss Kat, and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Dr. E. in Long Beach, California, of ConjureDoctor.com for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Mama Hen of MamaHenMagic.com from San Antonio, Texas. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining me from Triple Crown Conjure in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, all. I'm going to stay here in chat with anyone who has more questions or comments.
Good night, everyone. It was lovely to have everyone here tonight.
Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.